One of the things that I often think about when Kevin asked me to be in charge of church to facilitate is I always ask the Lord to give me, okay, who do you want to do the offering? So last time it was Ellen Mueller, and those of you that were here when Ellen gave their testimony, it was amazing. And I've known Ellen for a long time and didn't know all of the ins and outs of that. I've known Dale and Elise since before they were married. They have a 30-plus-year-old daughter, 31, I think Jessica is. Is that right, Dale? 35? Oh, how long have you guys been married? 40? You've been married how? No. 36 or 37 years? Okay. 36 officially. I was at their wedding, so I guess I should take some responsibility. I didn't know that. Anyhow, so I've known them a long time, but even Dale, even that was just moving, and thank you for sharing that. That was hard. I called Elise the other day, and I said, I really think that the Lord wants you and Dale. And she goes, well, I'm in the nursery. I said, get somebody in there for 2 minutes. Come on, give me a break. And I said, no, I really believe that God wants both of you to give your story. And just as a side note, we all have a story. Every single person sitting in this room has a story. So take the opportunity after church or even before church while you're waiting, because Kevin has for years tried to get us here at 9:30. It hasn't worked, in case you haven't noticed. It hasn't worked. So he has now just given up, and he has said, we're using that as our fellowship time. So when you get here at 9:30, those of you that are so faithful to get here at 9:30, I could name your names, I won't. You're so faithful to get here at 9:30. You know, when people come in, just greet them and get to know them, and yeah, because everybody's got a story. Okay, so we also have another treat. Where is Brad? Where did he go? Oh, there you are. Thank you. You weren't there like 2 seconds ago. Okay, jeez. I wanted to just let you know, so we do have a ladies' Bible study that started this week morning, Thursday morning and Thursday evening. If you didn't get to go last week, please don't worry about it. You can get caught up really easily. So I would encourage you to do that. And then our women's retreat is on March 27th through the 29th. I will not be here, just so you all know. So Kevin's going to be doing that search, okay? So Brad, why don't you come on up? I'm going to share a little bit about how I know Brad Dacus. So Brad Dacus is the president of Pacific Justice Institute. Is that familiar to any of you in this room? Okay. So when did you start? 1997. So in 1997.
I'm old.
No. No. So 1997, I got something in the mail, and it was from PJI, and I happened to be on a few email lists. I got something in the mail, and I also got something emailed to me about Brad Dacus. So. In fact, I had started following PJI then because that, I think it was the 90s that things really started to crumble as far as the fruit of the Bible and prayer being removed from schools. I think that's, we finally started seeing real difficulties coming into play. And so it was good that God raised you up because that's when we really needed to fight for our liberties, our religious liberties. But fast forward. So the Bray kids, which I'm grandma number three, they've adopted me as their grandma number three, they go to Mission Hills Christian School. And I was going on a field trip with Noah's class. And Noah, this is probably third grade, fourth grade. And Suzanne Dacus was she was driving. And I didn't know her last name. I just knew her as Suzanne. So we're talking, and she's telling me her last name, Dacus. And I go, oh. I said, do you know? She said, yes, he's my husband. So, Brad, that's your introduction. Okay. He has a wife and two great kids. They're young adults, and yes. And they are great. And we just thank you for all that you do, because what you do and all the people that work with PJI, it's a struggle. And so we appreciate that. And pray for them, because they're really the tip of the spear in many ways. Yes. The tip of the spear. Okay?
Very true. Thank you. Very good. Appreciate it. Do we have anyone new? Do we have anyone new here this morning? Raise your hand if you're new here, first time visiting. Raise your hand. Wait, nice and high. High. Don't be. Very good. Excellent. Very good. Welcome. Thank you for coming. And normally Pastor Kevin is here, and but he's at the marriage retreat, and we're going to be in the Word here, though, talking about the hope that we have in Christ, even though we're facing tough circumstances, some of the toughest circumstances. In fact, that's what we're going to talk about in Scripture today, to encourage us indirectly, I guess, but as we look at what is prophesied to come and what we're prophesied to deal with in the future. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have given us your holy word, Father, that we can have our trust in your word, Lord. You are so gracious, God, not just to leave us hanging like, you know, when's Jesus coming back? What are we going to do? What's going on? You gave us clear prescription in your word as to what will happen and what we need to do to be ready for it and how to deal with it for your glory and to have victory. Father, we thank you. Pray for your Holy Spirit, Father, to speak through us, Lord, today through your word. And we thank you, Lord God, that we can put our hope and our trust not just partially in you, but completely in you, that you can be our everything, Father, and put our hope completely in you and to be blessed by that. In Jesus' name, amen. I know I was really blessed to hear what was shared today, Dale and your wife. That was great. Just that transparency about the real things. Oftentimes we go to church, we always want to act like everything is just totally great. So people say, oh, how's everything going? Oh, I'm fine. How are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. In reality, you're not fine. You know, sometimes it's like terrible, you know, it's all kinds of issues. And that's what the body of Christ is here. It's not so we can all just be fine and not really be fine, but rather be real and to be in each other's lives. And that's one thing I love about this church. We were looking for a church. It took us about a year and a half. We were really analytically going through everything, you know. But to see a church that has community and where we can be real in each other's lives and be blessed by that. And so thank you so much for that blessing this morning. Turn, if you will, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And, you know, just trust me. I'm a lawyer. Don't bother. No. I know, that was a joke, just so you know. I once did that to a congregation. It was, you know, in this church, and they were just like, they didn't take it as a joke. They were really scared, so. But that was a joke. Anyway, okay, boy, these things really help. I try not to wear glasses, you know, because that's a sign of how old I am, but these really help. So, what we're going to talk about is sort of like basically one of the most challenging parts in Scripture that's prophesied, which is dealing with the Antichrist. Yay! Okay, I was like, great, this isn't going to be uplifting. We're dealing with the Antichrist and the persecution and the falling away. But in this is so much hope and encouragement for us as we face a lot of the struggles, as was mentioned, Rhonda mentioned, it's very real. So let's start with verse 1. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. Now let me just first stop right here. We're dealing with the Thessalonians. Now, Thessalonica was actually, unlike a lot of the other early churches, they actually seemingly had their act together. When you read 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, it's not like Corinthians where it says, hey, the son is married to his dad's wife. What's going on? Or messing around with, what's, you guys stop this. And then, or in the Galatians where he says, hey, you guys are just so into legalism. Have you forgot grace? You know, or the Ephesians, you guys are just into your comfort zone and you forgot your first love. Thessalonians pretty much seem to have it pretty much together, right? And yet, even those in Thessalonica, even if you seemingly have it all together, we still need the word. We still need to cling to Christ. We still need to be exhorted for what's going to come, for the challenges, and which is what we're all going to be dealing with moving forward. Okay. That you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if it's from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Now, what's happened back at this time is you had some really some people giving false information saying, Jesus already came and it's over, or you were left behind. Sorry, you know, just all kinds of stuff that people were wondering, did Jesus already come? I heard Jesus came and then he left. And so we are dealing with that today, though, in the church. We deal with a lot, all kinds of false teachings, like the health and wealth doctrine. You know, just God's guaranteed you, if you believe it, you'll be healthy and wealthy. And I once saw a guy on TV, and he had his little microphone. He was looking at that camera, and he says, give right now. If you give right now that seed money, you're going to be wealthy. You're going to be rich. You're going to be prosperous. And I was so, I was like, I called the producer and I said, okay, that first segment, okay, I was on the way to the studio. I said, the first segment, tell them, we'll do them next week. I'm going monologue. I was so ticked off because we as Christians, we need to call this stuff out when we see it because they lead people astray. And then when things don't work out, they're crumbled. One thing I love about Dale, what you guys shared, was it was like, you didn't say like, and then we had tons of wealth, and we now live in a beautiful home overlooking the ocean, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know what I mean? Your message was that, no, we trusted, and the Lord blessed us with his joy and his peace. He provided. I mean, that's biblical. And so when we see heresy taking place, we need to call it out, and not spitefully, but with love and exhortation. So this is something that they're dealing with. Let's continue. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. One thing I like about this is the fact it's called the son of destruction. Because the ways of the world and the king of the world, Satan, is about destruction. It's about destroying, tearing down, whether it's families, whether it's physically, whether it's emotionally. Satan wants to tear us down. And what you're talking about here is the son of destruction, and it was the Antichrist, continue on, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship. That's pretty high. And it says, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Now, historically, something like this actually happened after this scripture. It was the temple was completely destroyed, and prior to that, the Romans came in and the leader, you know, acted as if he was God. I mean, it was actually, most people in looking at the scripture says, yeah, that did happen, but we're going to see something happen again. Satan loves to do his same thing when the temple is rebuilt, that we'll see this take place again. And it is prophesied that the temple will be rebuilt. So people say, well, that can never happen. Well, actually, yeah, it did happen. And we're going to likely see it happen again in the context of the Antichrist himself. Continue on. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? What's great is that we know ahead of time, and this wasn't some new thing. Paul was letting him know ahead of time, this is what is going to happen. This is what's going to come about. Because it was important for the church not to be shocked and dismayed when taken off guard. Next. Sorry. I'm going to give like a little cue thing, like a little bit like this, but just ignore the cue, just him. Thank you. Very good. By the way, this morning, he was so gracious because I said, yeah, 2 Timothy, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he said, are you sure? I went, oops, wrong book of the Bible. So we can thank Sam for that. Thank you. Okay, and you know what restrains him now, so that in this his time he will be revealed. What restrains him? Is it how strong we are as people? Is it how strong the government? Is it the, no, it's God. God is what restrains. And this is a real important reminder, because no matter what happens in this earth, no matter what we're faced with, no matter what's thrown at us, we can be confident that our awesome God is here, and nothing can happen but for his allowance. And that's important. We can have that confidence that God is our hope and our trust. I remember once I was speaking in a church. This was after I got married. It was Calvary Chapel up in Arrowhead or Big Bear. I keep getting those mixed up. But anyway, and my wife was in the very back, and I was speaking in a church, and the very back row, and there's a man sitting here to her right, and she says, "So what did you think of the message? What did you think of the sermon?" Now, we'd been married for, I don't know, a year or something, you know, and she was going to get some feedback for me so she could encourage me afterwards. And this guy, he says, I'm not exaggerating one bit here. Here's what he says. He says, "Actually, I came here to kill Mr. Dacus." He says, "I brought my gun. It's in my truck. I thought I should first hear what he has to say. And I decided not to." Anyway, so my wife, I said, "So how'd it go, honey?" She said, "Oh, it's fine. It's fine." And then she waited until we got off the mountain. She just didn't talk at all until we got off the mountain. She goes, "Okay, let me tell you what happened." Because she didn't want me getting in an accident, because she could just see me going, "What?" Ah, you know. But, but reality is, God, no one can, he's Lord. He's our shield. I mean, he wants us to be smart, you know, but he's our shield, and he protects us, and we can have that confidence as we face the things of this world. Satan can't touch us, but for God allowing it. We're going through, some of us are going through our devotionals with the book of Job, and what was really important, I think, is the very beginning, is how it's very clear that Satan couldn't touch Job, couldn't bring anything to Job, couldn't allow, unless God said, "Okay, I'll let you test him." And in the end, God was glorified, and God had the victory. And Job was blessed. Okay, continue on. "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way." Continue on. "Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming," Jesus' coming. So he lets us know right up front, ahead of time, God's going to win, okay? Just, you know, God's going to win. There's no issue here. There's no contingency clause unless da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No, God's going to win. Isn't that awesome? Okay, yes. Continue. "That is, the one who's coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders." So this is the Antichrist, okay? So the Antichrist is really going to be noticeable. They're going to affirm that they're God. They'll probably come out as a great deceiver, so I expect that on day one they're not going to say, "I'm God, vote for me." I mean, you know, Satan's much more deceptive, and we could expect that. We go back to that verse. I'm sorry. But that was good, though. Thank you. "With all power and signs and false wonders." False wonders. So can we see this person possibly doing something that they think is miraculous, something that's incredible, something that's... Yeah, we can see that. I could see that taking place. But nothing takes God by surprise. And this is only because God, in the end... we'll allow that. And there's a reason. Continue on. Let's go. "And with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved." See, our God is a gracious God. In other words, there's choice here, which is really important. God gives us choice whether to follow him or not to follow him. And it's the love of the truth so that they may be saved. God is a powerful God. He's also a very loving God. And he doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. And yet, we have that choice. And so, people will choose to follow this instead follow the deceiver, follow the Antichrist, instead of following the Lord. We see that today. Many times people in our society say, I don't like Christianity. I don't like how it restrains me, what it believes. I once talked to one young person who said that they're an atheist. I said, really, you're an atheist? I said, well, why are you an atheist? I mean, I said, let me ask you, if you could just wave a magic wand and make a God or not be God, would you want there to be a God? And they said, yeah. Yeah, I'd want there to be a God, just not the Christian God. I said, you mean one that will sort of like love you and bless you and just be just like a big gracious God and everything, but let you do whatever you want and get away with whatever you want to do and just totally live your own way the way you want? He goes, yeah. And I said, well, it's really good you identify that, because now you've just discovered what your prejudice is. You just now reveal what you want, what your prejudice is. So if you really want to seek truth, and you're really going to find truth, you have to seek something outside that prejudice of what you want to believe, what you want to be true, which means you need to seek Christianity and really test it, because you've already discovered what you want to believe. And if you're really going to be honest and seek truth, you need to go outside that. And anyway, they thought some. Anyway, we'll see what happens. Anyway, I won't reveal the person I'm talking about, but some of you may know him. But anyway, we'll keep going. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. Folks, this is right akin to Romans chapter 1, verse 8, and where it talks about that. Well, because we choose to turn from God, God gives us over to delusion. We may do that which is not right or not proper. And so that's what takes place. And next verse. In order that all who may be judged, in order that they all may be judged who do not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. Once again, it's what? Living a life for ourselves, living a life for pleasure, and choosing not to follow God. And we will be judged. God's a righteous judge. Isn't that awesome? He's a righteous judge. You know, we can count on him. And he's very clear as to what's required. The wages of sin is death, separation from God, right? But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we know exactly what's required of us. Sin is death. Faith in Christ is forgiveness and redemption. I talked to a gentleman who was Muslim, and he's a leader in a Muslim mosque in the association in California. And I said, so how do you get to heaven in your religion? So, well, we just sort of do good things, and we just hope our good things outweigh our bad things, and at the end of the day, we just hope Allah has mercy on us. I said, so you just sort of hope you've done enough to counter the bad? Yeah, I said, but you really don't know. He goes, no, we don't know. And yet, God is a very loving God and makes it very clear. He's a just God. He tells us right up front what we must do to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, period. And that's a great assurance that we have as followers of Jesus and the Word, which has proven itself through the ages to be true. Okay, in order that, next one. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in truth. What I love about this is that God has chosen you. It's not like, oh, what this guy over here beside the believer, who's this guy? No, God loves us. He died for us, and he chose us. He's reaching out for us. And we have that sanctification and that assurance in faith. Now, are we going to have challenges as we look at how God, it's talking about delusional, how they seek wickedness. I'm going to give you some modern-day challenges application, because I know some of you are going to, if I don't do this, you're going to say, Brad, why didn't you talk about some of the modern-day application with some of the things that you see taking place? So I'm going to do that for a moment. I didn't bring bifocals, so I'm just trying to work without the bifocals. We'll see. Another few years, I got to have those too. But irrelevant. Okay. As far as churches, I remember when it used to be the day when everyone would go to church. If they didn't go to church, they knew they should be going to church. You know what I mean? It's sort of like, yeah, I know I should be going to church. Yeah, I'm going to get going next Christmas, you know. But today it's different. We have a whole segment of society and Western culture that is just outright rebelling and despise churches. They see churches as evil, you know. And like in San Rafael, they tried to issue a tax against churches this last year, property tax. Little Valley Baptist Church had to come up with $13,000 or the government was going to shut their doors permanently. In the United States, it's like, and we went into court, and by God's grace, we got a judgment that it was unconstitutional in the state constitution. Wisconsin, they were told that they had to, a new ordinance, this little town in Wisconsin, that the church can no longer hire people based upon their doctrine when it comes to sexual relationships and same-sex marriage and things like that. They says, no, your minister, youth pastor, if it turns out that they go this way, we're not going to, you have to keep them on staff, even if it violates your beliefs and your faith. Because under public accommodation, means if you invite everyone in the public is invited to your church on Sunday, then you're under the public accommodation doctrine, which means you're under all the our hiring rules and everything. But if you have a membership and only let certain people in your church, it's okay. Well, I've never seen a church like that, okay? At least not one that I'd want to attend. So we went into court, and we got a judge to declare it was a violation of the state and federal constitution. But can you imagine? I mean, several other communities already started copying that in Wisconsin. This was already starting to spread. And if they could get away with it, I could see cities, L.A., San Francisco, Chicago, these blotches on the American map, just doing that, taxing, persecuting, shutting them down. And those kinds of persecutions. We see street preachers being criminally prosecuted. 4 years ago, I thought I'd never see have to do criminal defense work. Because criminal defense work is you're defending criminals, right? I don't get to defend criminals. These are bad people. Let them. I'm sorry. But this was my twisted thinking, okay? I call it out. I call it twisted. And now 30% of our budget is criminal defense. You know the people we're defending? Well, technically they're criminals, but they're criminals because they were all people who are ministers, pastors, evangelists, sharing Jesus legally in public, on public places that are protected. These are all over the country. I had two in Texas last year. Texas! I mean, that's God's country. You're not supposed to desecrate Texas. Okay, that's what my favorite. Anyway, things have changed. Austin's an exception, definitely. And, well, San Antonio was in El Paso. Those were two other cities I had to deal with. But those are real things. A change of attitude, a change of heart and ideas that we're having to face on an ongoing basis. Employees, Professor Eric Thompson, who wouldn't be ashamed of the gospel, was fired for his job. And we went into court. We went on arbitration, went on appeal. We're defending a teacher who says, I will not call this boy a girl, a female pronoun. I won't use a female pronoun. That goes against my faith. That's a lie. I will not affirm a lie because I know how God made this child. I will use their first name. I just won't use any pronouns. And the school district up in Northern California says, oh, no, you will use this pronoun or you will lose your job. And so faith is on the edge. I mean, these are people who are living their faith and not surrendering their faith, or a female who's working for Border Patrol and she's in the locker room changing and someone else comes in the locker room claiming to be a different gender, but in reality they're not. I'm trying to look at my audience here. So anyway, you guys can connect. You're in California. This isn't Tyler, Texas. You guys can connect the dots, right? I mean, you know what I'm saying? And so she's like screams and they say, nope, this is the new way. This is how you have what you have to do. And she's like, I will not, this is wrong. I will not do this. This goes against my faith. And we're representing her in federal court. Bottom line, we see stuff that's just so way out, so crazy, that you can't explain it except through scripture, in my opinion, through the delusion and the spiritual attack that's taking place. Let's continue on. And yet God wants us to be faithful, not silent. He wants us to continue to be faithful and in love, share the truth and the hope that is in Christ, but not to surrender the convictions that he's put on our hearts. That's a part of being a Christian. It was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? The opportunity that exists is that because of the glory and the opportunity we have in Jesus Christ. Next verse. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Next. Next. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace. Next. Comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. Isn't that awesome? It doesn't say just strengthen your hearts while you huddle back, huddle in the corner and just hope no one knocks on your door and you just come to be. No, no. Strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. In other words, as you do the work of God, as he's put on your hearts. Sometimes we can be discouraged, though. Sometimes we don't make it. Sometimes we fail. Don't we? Aren't there times in life you say, oh, I wish I'd said something. You know, I wish I'd spoken up. I wish I'd. And yet God has given us an encouragement. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, let's just click forward to that real quickly here. Amidst this persecutions and things, we're going to blow it, but he spells it out really clear. Once again, I love God being really clear. You know what I mean? He gives us an assurance in his word. He says, this is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. Now, back then, that was often a literal, okay? Because you died because you were a Christian. There was a lot of killing. Today, by the way, killing of Christians and killing persecution is in record numbers around the world. You know what's also record numbers? People coming to Jesus. God is pouring out his spirit in incredible ways, historic proportions. In south of the border, in Central America, half the people in Honduras and Costa Rica, half of them are evangelical Christians. You go to Africa, there's a critical need for discipleship training because so many have come to Jesus and they need training. In India, it's exploding. In China, in other parts of the world. Even in Europe, the fastest growing church, although they're not as many as we'd like, are the evangelical believers. Fastest growing church in Europe. And yet we see this attack. So, but God wants us to be willing to die with him. And that also means in our society today, it may mean lose our job. Are you willing to put him first? Are you willing to deny him? Are you really a follower of Jesus? Do you really have your trust in him? Verse 12, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. In other words, if we continue and don't discourage and continue to live our faith and with boldness and share our faith, and guess what? God's going to give us rewards. It's going to be really rewards that we're going to be things we can't even imagine. If we deny him, he also will deny us. That is, if we say, no, I'm going to follow something of this world instead. I'm going to follow the ways of the world. I'm not going to follow you. I just gave you lip service, but my heart is not to repent. My heart is not to follow Jesus. My heart's to follow this. If we deny him, he will deny us. And then verse 13, I love this. If we are faithless, you'll be sent far, far away into the darkness. No. I love this. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Think about this. So it doesn't say if we are faithless, he remains faithful because he's a nice guy. No, he cannot deny himself. He cannot deny what he did on the cross. He cannot deny his paying the debt for all of our sins. And we can put our hope and our trust in him no matter what. And that's the assurance that we have as followers of Jesus Christ, that even when we're faithless, he remains faithful and he can still work in our life and move in our lives. Perhaps someone's here today, you thought, may have felt convicted and thought, gosh, I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to be a follower of God. I need to not be a follower of this world. I need to put my hope in him as my forgiveness. Let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, so much for what you're doing. Father, thank you that no matter what the world throws, and it's going fast, things are happening so fast. The great deceiver is invading in so many different ways in terms of TV and the internet and our schools, our public schools. We are facing almost call it spiritual genocide with what's coming in terms of the new sex ed curriculum and things like this. Lord God, none of this takes you by surprise. Father, Lord God, you are still on your awesome throne, and your love is still just as strong, and your power is still just as strong. You are still the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we can put our hope completely, fully in you as we follow you and have the promise of your word of both endurance and peace and hope and blessing. Lord God, we pray, Father, if there's someone here this morning, Father, who may not know you in a personal way. Maybe they've just been living religion. Maybe they've been following the ways of the world. Maybe they've got some things in their dark closet that they haven't surrendered to you and received forgiveness. Whatever it is, Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to touch them right now, Father. And with every head bowed, if you're one of those people, just pray this prayer with me right now. Just say, Lord God, I'm a sinner. You know everything I've done. You know my past. You know the lies I believe, that following my own ways. I right now surrender my life to you. I right now receive your full forgiveness through faith in Jesus Christ dying and paying for my sins on the cross. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for rising from the dead for me and for forgiving me of all my sins. I want to follow you. Here's my life now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, I want you to share it with someone before you leave here today, okay? Don't keep it to yourself, because Satan wants you to keep it to yourself and hope you're going to forget it and then doubt whether or not God's in your life. Don't let that happen. Share it with someone, share it with me, share it with Rhonda, share it with someone before you leave here so you can be affirmed in that awesome thing that's just happened, which is a transformation. You're now become a child of the living God. Seriously. Which is awesome. Anyway, God bless you all. Thank you very much.